FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is September 13th, 2016. And, well, we know we're approaching yet another chapter in the ongoing financial collapse, financial calamity, whatever you want to call it. But we're definitely getting to a new phase of it. But what is that phase going to look like? How do we know when we're there? Are we there yet? Well, Daryl R. Shoon, who put a lot of thought into this thing, was well ahead of the curve before it happened in 08 and 09, is with us now. It's been a while, Daryl. It's good to talk to you. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Kerry.
Hey.
You know, when you were leading into this, I thought the metaphor would be is that you and I have a mortuary in town, all right? And the richest guy in town, we know he's dying.
Right? You can only hope.
Yeah. And we've been expecting that guy to come in anytime because we know it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, what's keeping you already? What's keeping you?
And the question then becomes, what in my mind is whether the economy it's got two threats to it. It's hyperinflation and a deflationary collapse. All right. Mm-hmm. And they both come off the same trunk. In other words, it was the same virus. It was the same condition that gave rise to these two distinctly different possibilities. While one may be cancer, the other may be heart attack. They both come off of the same cause. And that root cause was the removal of gold from the international monetary system in 1971. What happened was when gold was pulled out of the game because we didn't have the gold to cover the US dollar, money printing in the United States exploded across the world. Because what most people don't realize was governments always want to print money. I mean, they're the ones who do it, okay? You and I could do it. It's called counterfeiting. Governments could do it. It's just...
It's called Bitcoin. Right?
Right. But what happened is, the reason why governments were constrained into the money printing before 1971 is that gold was in the system. The U.S. dollar was tied to gold. All other currencies were tied to the U.S. dollar. So negative trade balances had to be rebalanced with a transfer of cash that was convertible to gold, which meant the dollar or their own currencies in a certain way. So what countries had to do, including the United States, more than anyone else, because we were the biggest game in town, is that we had to keep the dollar printing within, quote, reasonable bounds. Once we went off the gold standard in 1979, we could print with abandon and so could everybody else. The amount of money printing, if you look at any charts, exploded after 1971. The price of gold exploded at the same time, and inflation exploded. All right. Economists call the period from 1971 to 1980 the Great Inflation. Now, what happened to inflation after 1980? It dropped. They raised interest rates to 21%, wringing out of the system. All right. And it steadily went lower and lower and lower and lower. Now, the money printing continued. All right. Central banks kept pushing cheap interest rates out. Commercial and investment banks kept turning this into loans. And we had the continuation of excessive money printing. But inflation, much to everybody's shock, never went up after 1980. Why? Well, the economists, Kerry, which I love it, they noticed this too. All right. And they thought, well, it must be something we did.
We did it.
You know, your dad is drinking like a fish and his liver's holding up, you know? Well, it must be because we're putting Jim Beam in his coffee, you know, or something. Yeah. All right? Because the guy ain't dead. Well, the truth of the matter was this. It was the collapse of speculative bubbles that always set in motion inflation's antithesis, which is deflation, all right? Mm-hmm. And we had a series of massive inflationary collapses because of the excessive money printing after the 1980s. In 1990, the one that really did it was the collapse of the Nikkei, all right, in Japan. Their Nikkei, I think, had exploded to 23,000. It ended up down at 8,300, lost 80%, all right? And Japan's never recovered. In the year 2000, the United States had its dot-com bubble. When it collapsed, it sent more deflation down the pike. And then in 2008, 2007, we had the real estate crash, which again sent down more deflation. So what we've had Kerry, is we've had like a sumo wrestling match with inflation, with hyperinflation, inflation on, in one character, and the other character is deflation. And the truth is, until very, very recent, deflation has had the upper hand. And that's what central bankers are worried about, for good reason. All right. That's why you have negative interest rates. That's why you have QE. They're trying to prime the pump by throwing more credit, more money to create artificial demand to make up for real demand. The reason real demand is gone is everybody's bankrupt. Yeah. You can't pay those loans back. The only ones who are still doing well are the ones at the top who have their assets in the areas. It's a bubble asset. Bonds and stocks, and they're very, very wealthy. The rest of the economy is just draining out. So deflation has been winning. But what's happened? And Greenspan himself pointed out that starting early this year, that the ticking of inflation started happening. Now, these are guys, Kerry, who steer the car looking at the rearview mirror. All right?
Yeah.
But they got that rearview mirror really, and they see stuff you and I don't see, all right, until later. And what they've noticed is, even though inflation has not moved out, because there's no real demand anywhere, we're still in an overall deflationary collapse. And deflation is always fatal. That's what caused the Great Depression. Lack of demand, nothing can get, nobody takes any loans out, nobody's takes chances anymore, and it deflates itself. It's economic anorexia. That's really what it dies by itself. It wastes away. It's capitalism's fatal wasting disease. The bankers know this. The central bankers really know this. So they've been trying, they've been force feeding the patient. That's what QE is, force feeding the patient. All right. They've been giving them everything they can to try and make the patient sit up and eat, because they know that if the deflationary trend continues, it's going to die. I mean, the money, the velocity of the money has been dropping steadily.
Yeah, for years.
After every other recession, the velocity of money's already picked up. It's always picked up. Mm-hmm. Well, the economist said the recession ended in 2009. Well, maybe what they said it ended in 2009, that the economy expanded for two quarters in a row, and it did, but the velocity of the money kept falling. And what I want to make a point here, Kerry, is the reason why they said that they had economic expansion happened, the recession was over, it did expand, but it expanded artificially because of the trillions of dollars they put in because of QE. So it was steroids that caused the artificial growth of the economy. It's kept us out of technically a recession. But if you were a monetary pathologist, if you were one of the doctors overseeing this guy's health, you would go, he's dying. Because the blood pressure keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. They have made a figured out a way to put him in an iron lung where he's, you know, where he's breathing normally, because that's the iron lung. But if they didn't have that iron lung, he'd die. And that's what we've got today. The question is whether or not this economic system, which is on its last legs, is going to expire because of a complete deflationary collapse or of a hyperinflationary blow off caused by the excessive money printing. Now, the boys in charge, or we now say the girl in charge, Janet Yellen, and I always say it's a bad sign when they hand the reins over to a woman. Not because the woman's going to ruin it, but because the boys only give it over to a woman when they want to get out of town, when they don't want to be holding the smoking gun. You know, it was like that guy, that lady who became General Motors from out of the blue.
Mary Barra. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Mary Barra. You know why they gave it to her? They knew that ignition scandal was going to come down.
Yeah, she managed to get through it.
Her, the CEO, and they sat back. All right, now who preceded Janet Yellen? Janet Yellen has been at the Feds for all those years. It was Bernanke, and who preceded Bernanke? Alan Greenspan.
Yeah,
Alan Greenspan was head of the Fed from 87 to 2006, the longest period of expansion of capitalism in the history. Why? Because it was easy Ed and his credit policies. All right.
Yeah.
When it blew up in 2000, he got worried, slashed the interest rates. And by 2006, he knew it was going to blow up. He got out of town 1 year before the collapse of the housing bubble, hands it over to Bernanke, who he thought he can fix it. Bernanke was the kid who was at Friedman's birthday party and said, you know what, to Milty, Uncle Milty, or whoever they called him, you know, it's our fault. We didn't do what we should have done, and because of you, it'll never happen again. So he was itching for his chance at the reins. Well, Greenspan knew, I think he knew better than Bernanke, all right? He got out of town quick, handed the steering over to Bernanke. Bernanke put his foot to the floor. The engine stalled.
Yeah.
He stopped.
He flooded the carburetor.
The carburetor. It was flooded. So mm-hmm. what did he do? He kept pouring money into the inner of the carburetor artificially. He put a funnel in that had never been in there before. Before they used to diddle with how much oxygen is in, you know, the spray, yeah. you know. They put mm-hmm. a funnel in. That's what QE is. And started pouring it in directly. And it didn't work. So what happens? He hands it over to Janet Yellen. All right. So now she's got the engine. All right. And we're sitting here going, you know, Janet, and we're not experts at this, Carrie. All right. Mm-hmm. But we're in the car. And we're knowing that, you know, if you raise interest rates, this car is going to just blow up. Yeah. It's going to stop.
Yeah.
And she's looking at this. Listen, I'm going to raise interest rates. And everyone goes, why is Janet? Is she so stupid? She's going to raise interest rates. I've been thinking about this, Carrie. And this is my thought. Janet wants to raise interest rates because what she's charged with is saving the system. All right. Now, banking, which is at the core of capital markets, needs positive interest rates. If credit is negative, if the cost of credit drops below zero, banks can't make any money. They arbitrage interest rates. That's what banks have always done. And because they're the first distributor of credit, so they have basically at a zero cost, whatever they arbitrage the interest rates at is their profit. Okay? And for years, all they had to do was if it got
to, yeah, they didn't have to do much.
Yeah. Now it's not doing anything. So so Yellen, first of all, it was the Japanese, then the EU, they had to go negative. Why? Because deflation was so powerful in the EU and in Japan, they were forced to go negative before anybody else. Now Yellen is sitting there looking at it. And because we've got this Ponzi scheme, the heart of the Ponzi scheme in America, where we've managed to keep the S&P up, you know, they know every time they give a shot of steroids, the S&P goes. They know every time they say they're going to take the steroids away, the S&P drops down. But they're trapped. So why is Yellen even wanting to make the choice? They are making the choice. This is what you would call the devil's conundrum, the central banker's real conundrum. Faced on one hand, that if they take away the punch bowl, the economy will just collapse because it's only because of their artificial stimulation that they've kept the bond market and the stock market going, the money flowing this level.
Of course.
All right. They know that if they take it away, it's going to stop. But they also know that there's a reason that they've got to raise it. Now, you and I don't give a shit. All right. Now, we do give a shit. All right. But we're not in the game. They don't care about us. All right. They're the ones making the decision. Why are they itching? Why do they want to, against what appears to be common sense, to raise interest rates that will be so profoundly affect the economy and take a faltering system and put it in perhaps the morgue? Well, the reason is this. Yellen and other central bankers, especially in the United States, know, and they're tied into the banking system, that unless they can move the rates back up to positive, the banking system is going to die. They're going to have organ failure, all right? And that's why Jamie Dimon is pushing for higher interest rates, because Wall Street lives off the arbitrage of credit ratings, all right? In a free market economy, Carrie, there's one dynamic that determines price level: free markets, supply and demand, all right? Mm-hmm. In a capital economy, it's been supplanted by credit and debt.
Right.
All right. So what we've got, you've got supply and demand, but in a credit-based economy, it gets overwhelmed by credit and debt. That's why the gold markets are suppressed. That's why the silver markets are suppressed, because the boys who run the credit and debt machine are able to print derivatives, futures, and whatever, leverage paper at no cost and suppress the real cost, the market price, the goods that they would be otherwise. Now, why are they doing it? Because there's systems at stake. The system that benefits them above all else. Recently, we all thought it benefited by us. The ones at the bottom, we thought, well, they're there because they don't work. They get up too late, lazy or whatever, you know, bad luck, right?
Right.
And for the most part, everybody sort of floated, you know, especially after the 1970s, 1987, when Greenspan got in and cut credit loose. You know, those are the rolling years, all right? But we're here when the chickens are coming home to roost, All right. They took the U.S. off the gold standard, not because it was a smart thing to do. They didn't have a convene the world's best economists and say whether it's bad or good to take the gold out of the system. If you had that system of economists, who knows what they say? Because both the left and the right wanted gold out of there. I mean, Milton Friedman and John Maynard Keynes, you know, the mom and pop of paper money, they thought gold just didn't belong in this new game anymore. All right. Both of them for their own reasons. All right. So, but the deal was nobody really expected it to happen. What did happen? Yeah. They were forced to. They didn't have the gold to cover the U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. So they pulled gold out and set in motion the situation we've got today. The specter of a continuing deflationary collapse, that what happened in Japan after 1990, 25 years later, they're still going down. They don't have any options. All right. Spread to Europe next. Why? Because Europe, they also have a central banking system, but it's not coordinated. So they're fighting each other. So Germany is richer. All the poor countries are getting worse. Then you've got the healthiest system. All right. Which is the United States, because we're the biggest printer of all. My feeling, Kerry, is this. We're going to be the last man standing, yeah. Which is good for you and me.
Well, it depends how long it's standing for, right? Depends how long.
Depends. Well, none of us know. You know, yeah. But what I watch how I think. And what I'm saying is this. Mm-hmm. If you see the collapse coming, the tendency is you're going to think it's going to happen sooner than it does. If you're oblivious to the possibility of the collapse, you're never going to think it's going to happen.
Until after it happened.
Until after it happened.
Then it's
and
like, oh, yeah.
The truth is probably between the two. All right? And you and I have to live with the tension of knowing it's coming.
But not
and
knowing
not
when.
Knowing when.
Yeah, how much longer can it go on? You know, it's like, can it last longer than Hillary? That's what I want to know.
We don't know. I remember I had a talk with my son in the 1990s. See, I started getting into this stuff in the 1990s. All right. Mm-hmm. By the time I wrote my book, I was already convinced we were in the drink. And I wrote my book, Time of the Vulture, in 2007 because mm-hmm. it started happening in late 2007, 2008. So, you know, really, if you're going to make a prediction, the best position you want to be in is right before it happens because people remembered you made the prediction. If you made the prediction too far in the past, nobody quite remembers that you predicted it. All right. So I hit it right. I had the catbird scene of prediction.
Yeah, that was a good timing there.
It was good timing. But I began becoming aware of this in the 1990s. I mean, I was all over the Great Depression, and I didn't come to the mm-hmm. same conclusion that Bernanke did. I came to the conclusion, holy smokes, we're going to hit there again. All right. Now, my son had graduated from MIT. All right. He was in computer sciences, and he really didn't care about money. All right. He didn't care about money. At all. I mean, he cared about money, but he didn't care about it in the economic sense that I did. And I explained to him where we were headed towards and the inevitable collapse of the United States. He said something to me, Kerry, that I still remember. He looked at me, he thought about it, and he said, you know what? You may be right, but you have no idea what they've got up their sleeve, and they're going to do everything they can. And they have. They had QE, they went to zero, they're at negative rates, but they're trapped. They're mm-hmm. trapped. And the way I see them, Kerry, they are like Hitler heading for Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got a plan. The army always has a plan, you know?
Yes.
And we who are in the army's path think, oh, my God, they're going to kill us because of their plan. Well, mm-hmm. I think they're going to die before they get to us. But that may be vain hope, Kerry. But I know their demise is here. I know that even though they have a tremendous amount of power, they don't control it. It's gotten to this extreme level of distress without their ability to fix it. What they've been able to do is to pretend and extend. I forget who kind of called it it's pretend and extend, the financial repression guy, all right? Great analytical mind. It's pretend and extend. That's the great thing. That's what Japan mm-hmm. did after the collapse of their banking system in 1990. Japan just never called in those loans. They allowed the banks in Japan to carry on the trillions of dollars of bad loans and not have to, you know, not have to do the bookkeeping. And it kept the banks in business. In the West, what we did was we did something else. We bailed them out with taxpayer money. All right. QE, we went in. We, here we are, identifying with the government. All right? Yeah, in QE, the Fed went in, printed money, and bought all those bogus real estate mortgages off the books of the banks. All right. And that's they bailed out the banks a second time. So the banks aren't carrying toxic mortgages anymore on their loan books. They're awash in reserve, but they can't do anything with them. They've got more money than they know what to do with because there's nothing that can be done with that money. People don't want to borrow it anymore to do real investments because everybody's scared. Everybody's scared. I think who made the point about Facebook, the biggest deal of time? Oh, David Stockman. Yeah. He said, you know what Facebook is? He says it's a billboard company.
Yeah.
It's a billboard company. They've That's got funny. The greatest, you know, people, and they have billboards. So they have the right to billboard people on Facebook. All right. Before, remember, we used to read the newspaper every day or magazines, and they'd have the ads on the side and made a huge industry. Well, we don't read magazines anymore. We don't read newspapers anymore.
No, we don't.
People are on Facebook. And Facebook has got the ad, got the monopoly in the ads. So he said, the biggest company in the world, one of the biggest companies in the world today is a billboard company.
Mm-hmm.
He reached the end of it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What he said to say that. Well, so here we are. You and I, the truth is, Kerry, we don't own the mortuary.
Yeah.
We're workers, right? And we're digging the plot, you know? And I can say with some degree of certainty that you and I dug that plot for the economy a long time ago, and we're looking at it, and it's filled up with water, you know, in the interim. We've got through a few seasons. And you're looking at it going, how in the hell are we going to drain this? All right. And I'm looking at it too. And I said, you know, if we're really lucky, he's going to die tomorrow. And it's going to put him in the casket. It's going to be so heavy that, you know, it'll go to the bottom.
We can only hope. And on that note, Daryl, we got to run. Just tell us where we find your work and where we can get your next book when it goes on advance sale.
Okay. Dr. Schoon is my website, S-C-H-O-O-N. But the most active thing that I have in there is my YouTube channel. It's called Schoonworks, S-C-H-O-O-N-W-O-R-K-S on YouTube. And the name of the book will be The Crises and the Context.
The Crises and the Context. Looking forward to it. And of course, you'll find a link to Daryl's site on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Daryl, it's been great talking to you.
Great talking to you, Kerry. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's going to get interesting real fast. I just have that feeling that, you know, things always take much longer than you think. Possible, but happen a lot faster than you thought they could.
One of my sayings, Kerry, was how long it took, how quick it happened.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Daryl, talk to you soon. Later.
Thanks, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.